From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, December 22nd, 2025. Maine will join the 15 states regulating untraceable guns following Governor Janet Mills' decision to allow such a bill to become law. Steve Missler has more.
The bill requires serial numbers on firearms that can be built at home, including those made with 3D printers, yet have the same lethality as traditional guns. Regulating so-called ghost guns has become an important issue for gun safety advocates because such weapons are untraceable and evade federal and state firearm laws. A spokesperson for the governor said Mills believes the bill is an appropriate update to a Maine law that already criminalizes the possession and transportation of a firearm with altered or obscured serial numbers. The proposal is among more than 60 bills the governor held at the end of this year's legislative session. While the window has passed for Mills to sign those bills into law, they can go into effect without her signature when the legislature returns in January. Mills, who is facing a competitive primary in her bid for the U.S. Senate, has a varied record on gun control legislation. She recently opposed a red flag referendum approved by voters, but has also signed an expansion of background checks into law. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Maine is offering energy companies an opportunity to develop a massive new power and transmission project in Aroostook County. As Peter McGuire reports, the plan is regarded as critical to delivering cheap power and reducing greenhouse gas pollution across New England.
The Maine Public Utilities Commission is accepting bids to build 1.2 gigawatts of wind power, enough to keep the lights on in nearly 500,000 homes. Commission Chair Phil Bartlett says the project offers new generation at a time of spiking electricity prices and demand.
With the expectation that we will continue to see demand for electricity grow over the next 10 years, this really is much needed to make sure that we have the resources available in the region to provide electricity reliably.
The PUC wants to pair wind farms with a major new electric transmission line running from around Holton to Pittsfield. Other New England states are also interested in buying power from the project. And the regional grid operator is trying to upgrade transmission systems to deliver the power to customers outside Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
A federal court on Friday ruled that the Trump administration has unlawfully denied bond hearings to potentially thousands of people in ICE detention in New England. The ruling comes in a class action lawsuit led by the American Civil Liberties Union of Maine and several other groups. ACLU attorney Max Brooks says the administration broke with a widely accepted understanding of federal law when it stopped allowing bond hearings in many cases over the summer.
Totally departing from what everyone understood it to mean and refusing to give those folks a bond hearing and keeping them in detention without any chance to show why they should be freed.
The ruling from a U.S. District Court judge in Massachusetts follows a similar ruling from a federal judge in California. A federal judge has also temporarily blocked the Trump administration from upending support programs for people experiencing homelessness. Maine was one of about 20 states that sued the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development over a new policy that would have gutted federal funding for permanent and rapid rehousing services. State officials had said as a result, at least 1,200 people in Maine risked losing their permanent housing and becoming homeless. But on Friday, a federal judge in Rhode Island ruled that the Trump administration cannot implement its proposed policy changes and directed HUD to begin releasing homelessness grants under the original terms of the program established by Congress. In a statement, Attorney General Aaron Fry praised the decision and said, quote, "Stability and the rule of law are being advanced over the chaos and ideological whims of the administration." The Maine Center for Disease Control is urging individuals to get vaccinated against the flu as cases begin to rise. 27 people were hospitalized for the flu last week in Maine, more than double the week prior. While overall flu activity in the state is considered minimal, in other nearby states such as Massachusetts, Connecticut, and New York, activity ranges from moderate to high. The flu shot is recommended for ages 6 months and up. Maine CDC Director Dr. Pateri Vah says getting vaccinated is one of the simplest and most effective ways to protect yourself and loved ones during the holiday season. The annual defense policy bill, signed into law by President Trump late last week, includes a few points of interest for Maine. The defense package sets aside funding for two DDG-21 destroyers, ships that are typically built at Bath Iron Works, and it includes nearly $450 million for various upgrades at Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, including an ongoing project to modernize and construct new dry docks. Troops will also receive a 3.8% pay increase. And the new defense law includes a provision that requires the Pentagon to source combat footwear for troops from manufacturers using entirely domestic materials. The provision has been hailed by New Balance, which says it's ready to manufacture military boots and footwear. Maine's small Christmas tree growers say their sales are up this season, despite an exceptionally wet spring, a severe drought, and tariffs that have made it a tough year for many farmers. Nora Sachs visited a tree grower near Skowhegan who has been trying to keep up with the demand.
It's about a week before Christmas, and Paul and Stephanie Lazotte have come to Quinn's Tree Farm in Cornville, just north of Skowhegan. But it's a Tuesday, and it's closed.
There you go. Everybody is around.
Well, we're not technically open today.
Oh.
But if you're here and you want to go cut one, we can do it.
Rather than turn them away, tree farmer Matt Quinn hands them a handsaw and sends them out into the snowy field full of fragrant balsam and Fraser fir trees.
Run on out there, grab it, drag it in. We'll shake it for you. We'll bale it for you and then get you on your way. Okay, guys?
All right. Quinn says his Christmas tree sales, both retail and wholesale, are up this season. And that's what Brian Mayo of the Maine Christmas Tree Association says he's been hearing from small farms all around the state.
A lot of retail lots have sold out and a lot of farms have been very busy this year. What we've noticed a big uptick this year in people who want to cut their own tree, which is really great.
At Balsam Ridge Christmas Trees in Raymond, Dewey Loy says his inventory was gone by the second week of December.
And I have to say that our sales this year for Christmas trees was up approximately 35%.
While trade groups report that tariffs are spiking the price of artificial trees from China this holiday season, potentially driving customers back towards live trees, growers in Maine point to a different reason for a bump in local demand. Dewey Loy says farms like his offer the chance to have a real experience and not just buy a product.
Well, I think it's tradition. You know, there's something about going out, you know, and getting a tree, cutting your own tree. And then, you know, they get to meet the folks that grew it. They get to know exactly when it was cut, where it was cut. So then I think people do crave a little bit of that, even now in all of our modern world of technology.
Some Maine farmers say their biggest challenge right now is growing enough trees to keep up with the demand.
Yeah, it's been the course for a number of years.
Len Price has operated Nutkin Knoll Farm in Newburgh since the late 80s.
There are fewer and fewer farms, there are fewer and fewer people involved with it.
According to the most recent U.S. Ag Census data for 2022, the number of acres of cultivated Christmas trees in Maine fell by almost a half over the span of a decade, as did the total number of trees cut. Those who've stayed in business said that this growing season was no picnic. A wet spring helped water in the new plantings, but it also made the tree crop more susceptible to disease. And then came the drought, Price says, which was particularly hard on young trees and can also slow the growth of even more established ones, pushing their harvest date back.
Always dodging another bullet. What's the next thing coming, you know?
Despite the challenges, growers I spoke with say they've resisted increasing what they charge for their cut-your-own trees, which typically range from about $60 to $80. And for farmers like Len Price, the customers make it all worth the effort when they emerge from his fields with a tree they love.
And the kids are just giddy, and the parents are giddy, and they tell you, oh, this is the 10th year in a row we've been here, and this is our favorite place in the world. And you just kind of go, wow.
That's so
really?
Sweet.
We did.
Geez, you're making them do all the work, huh? Well, that's all right.
Back at Quinn's Tree Farm in Cornville, Paul Lazotte is dragging a plump balsam fir tree into the parking lot.
Why did you guys choose this one in particular?
Perfect. It's round and it's tall and it's full.
Matt Quinn slips their tree into a mechanized shaker to loosen any dead needles, and then stuffs it into a baler, which binds the tree for transport. As Paul loads the fresh balsam fir into their pickup for their trip back home to Harmony, Stephanie explains that she's always been a fan of live Christmas trees.
I love the smell of them. They're not that inconvenient to keep, you know, watered and taken care of.
So you don't do the fake tree thing?
No, I never have.
Never will?
No, I don't know.
Can't say never.
During my life, I've had a fake tree a couple of times when I was a kid, but we had real trees for the most part. So, but it doesn't matter to me. A tree's a tree. It's not about the tree. It's about what happens around the tree.
While many Maine Christmas tree farms have run out for the season, Quinn and others plan to sell them right up until Christmas Eve. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the spirit of giving. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.